that's the game.
No. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the new day, for all that we've been able to get accomplished, Lord, for watching over us, for each head that's bowed in your presence, and for those that couldn't be here, Lord, for whatever the reason. Pray your good hand upon each one of us, and not us only, Lord, but everyone that's meeting together with you at this time to worship you, to praise you, and to listen to your leading and your guiding, the preaching and teaching of your word, the fellowship, Lord, just the whole thing, Father, just thank you for it. And I pray, Father, please, that you would be one of our number, that you would watch over us, and that you would minister to each one of us, Lord. We are a peculiar people, and each one of us has our own different needs. Please supply them this night. Pray for safe travels for Ling and Dr. Chang as they travel home from England, for Christy and Taylor as they travel up and down from Toon, and Lord, for each of us, of course, as we go home at the end of the evening, but that's jumping the gun a bit. Please just lead us and guide us as we spend this time around your word and lifting up your praises, Lord. And we just ask for ourselves, for our brothers and sisters around the world. We ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen,
amen indeed. You want to take the wee black books and turn to hymn number 31. Hymn number 31 in the wee black books. We'll sing the Bethel Baptist rendition of "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is."
Turn tonight to Jonah chapter 2. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. And Nineveh was an exceedingly great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 4 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, and the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came out to the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, That neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything, let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God, yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way, and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent? And turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not. And God saw their works that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil, and he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Amen. Yeah.
Powerful verses there. If only some of our company leaders or city leaders would do that and consider that maybe the Lord would turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that they perish not. Amen. Powerful words. Thank you, Will. Just a reminder, everybody, if I can just reach in here and find it, that you should make sure you have one of those wee yellow prayer lists. Please do take them, and if you have any additions or subtractions, I feel like shouting down there, if you have something that's really important to say, would you mind saying it to the whole class? Because that just reminded me of primary school whenever. Is everything okay? No? Have you got a prayer request, Steve?
Yes.
Go for it. I was going to say, if anybody has a prayer request, let us know. And we'll write it down, and then we can all pray about it.
I've got a prayer request.
Go for it.
It's a private one.
That, I think you're... Let me just check and see. You're there. Everybody? I've got ones for myself, Monica, Lane, Steve, Pat, and Will. Has anybody else got a private prayer request?
Also, this is for us. Do you remember the MP that was stabbed?
Was that Ames or something?
Yeah. I'd like us to pray for the family. Apparently, he was a good man. You know? A decent man that people could look up to. But didn't learn better than saying he's a Christian.
Killed by, which one was he?
Somalian.
I think the Somalians live on the planet Samo in Star Trek. But but the Somalians live in Somalia. That's probably out of place, but yeah, that was awful. Muslim terrorist just killed a man for no good reason. There's plenty of reasons why people need to have their lives taken, but yeah, by all accounts he did his job well and he cared about his constituents. Just pray for the family. Unfortunately, even being in the Baptist Church doesn't dictate any standards. Methodist even less so, but what?
I was in Methodist bakery, you should be a man. But when I was a teenager, I was in Methodist
bakery. Right, but that was back in Old Testament times, Steve, whenever you were a teenager lay preacher. Things were different back then.
I was preaching on the street for a good word, you know, as well.
And maybe even before that. Those were different times, Steve.
Yes,
a lot of denominations mean nothing now. Sadly, but there you go. Yep, that, please pray for that MP and his family. That was a dreadful thing to happen, and yet our government is so stupid. They are letting more and more of these, what do they call them? Young single males between 18 and 35 into our country with no families, no children. They're not coming in to escape persecution. They're coming in to carry out doublement, like that poor fella Lee Rigby, wasn't it him that was nearly decapitated a couple of years back by one of these Muslim guys? So I need to, people need to wake up and just call a spade. Not every Muslim is a terrorist, but pretty much every terrorist is a Muslim on the world stage. So it's worth remembering. It's worth remembering. They need prayed for and they need saved, but if they refuse to, it ceases to be a Christian matter and it becomes a governmental, a countrywide matter. And those are the sort of things that wars are fought over. So please do pray for them, for wisdom for our own government, instead of taking these people in and treating them like bosom buddies and knowing nothing about them, and that they should be restricted in some way. I am all for being nice to folks, but when someone does something like that, you don't greet them with an open hand, you greet them with a clenched fist, unfortunately, and that is the way of the world. That is borders, governments, so armies and things like that. Please do pray for that man's family. That's an awful way to meet any day.
And the family that lives these days in that car fire, even Northern Ireland has happened.
Never heard a thing about that.
Yeah. Our husband got for her murder.
Oh goodness. Is that a thing a while back?
I think she was buried yesterday just more.
Right. Just the whole, all the parents gone.
Is that, yeah.
That's awful. Pray for that family too. The Lord knows who they are. What's the old saying? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Is that it? Aye. Please just pray for those folks. And don't forget to maintain your own prayer armor, you know what I mean, your own prayer time. Don't forget to just tell God the things that you're needing as well. We're commanded to pray, shown to pray for our daily bread, the things that we need day by day too. But it's good to be able to be in a position where you're not, where all your prayer time isn't involved in yourself and you're able to think about other folks. It's good to be able to spend that time on other folks too and interceding for them. Please do continue to do that. Is there anything else that we need to be thinking of? Please do pray for the work that goes on at the church, Lord willing and weather permitting, that we get some decent weather and we're able to crack on and hopefully find our groove as we start down the other side of the church. I think we've still got Govern and PVC in to do, but please do pray for that as well, if you would. I think we're looking at another few weeks of work, and then we will be able to get into our other normal groove, hopefully.
Please pray for the results of the month of the week that waiting for the results from the hospital.
Both of them?
Yeah. The week is a foot in the way.
Is there anything else we need to be adding? If I have a prayer request as per usual.
Thanks for all the blessings.
Yes, indeed. And Emily's test is clear. Nothing else? Pray for each other. Amen. All right, that's just what we'll do. Christy, if you want to lead us, brother, we'll leave it to you.
Always, Lord, for being that rock that each of us need in this ever-changing world. Lord, thank you, Father, for walking with us, Lord, for the comfort that you give that the world doesn't give, Lord, for delivering us from the world as well, all the way today. Help us in the service. Jay, lead the preacher over to see things your word this evening and explain it to us. We pray and ask that Jesus be magnified, Lord, your saints will be edified as well, Lord, that Lord, hearts will be lifted up closer to you, Lord, and a clear direction given, Lord, here tonight. Your will be accomplished in each heart. You try each heart, challenge each heart, Lord, that you would just work as you see fit in each of us as well. Save the lost, Lord, amongst the family and friends, we pray especially. Lord, that you would help us be the example and the light, Lord, of this dark world needs. Lord, just walk with us. We pray for those that are sick and downcast, Lord, a special touch for them, Lord. Comfort those families that are grieving, Lord, that we know. Especially for the MP's family, Lord, that, who was killed there recently, Lord, and the family of that mother that was killed as well in the car. Lord, that you would provide the rest of his needs, Lord, give her covenants, wisdom, Lord, common sense, Lord, and you put a stumbling block in the path. And if you go against anything, it would, Lord, just set us world on the path going against you as well. We love and need you, Lord, just be with us, continually guide us as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, take our big hymn books, if you would. Big hymn books. Not that one. And we're going to sing 320, Oh to Be Like Thee. 320 in the big books. Oh to Be Like Thee. Don't know how that ever got to that number. Computers. There we go.
Thank you. Thank you.
5, beginning at verse number 1, and the title for the lesson this evening is No Waiting, or You Don't Have to Wait. Whichever one is easier on the fingers, on the memory. Written in John chapter 5, and we're going to be reading a fair bit of this portion of God's Word. Not at all, maybe the first dozen or so verses. Amen. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then, first after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity, 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. And Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. And Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It's the Sabbath day, it's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. And he answered them, He that made me whole, the same saith unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which saith unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed was not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus finds him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Amen. There are so many things there. We want to think for a little while on the subject of no waiting or no more waiting. Amen. Let's have another wee word up there. And then we will continue. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the freedom to come before you at any time. And I pray, Lord, that you would search our hearts. Lord, you know all the nooks and crannies. You know all our needs and desires. And I pray, Lord, according to your will, that you would work in the hearts and minds of each one of us here. You know, too, Lord, those things which are concerning us out in the world. Praying especially, Lord, for the family of wife that died in the car fire, and Lord, Sam and Louise, of course, we think of that MP's family, Lord, over in England that was killed by that Somalian. Lord, you know the world is just getting crazier and crazier. But we know, Lord, that one thing never changes, and that you're always there for us. Please watch over us now. Please open our understanding. Please, Lord, I pray, and improve our memories. And Father, just pray your will be done here this evening. And not just here, Lord, but wherever King James is opened and the full council of the priests, please work in people's hearts and minds. I love you and thank you. Pray all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. This is, I'm sure this is a very well-known portion of God's Word. John has a lot of these stories, these accounts of him dealing with people. This one deals with a man that had been, goodness, he was sick or disabled, whatever it was that he had, for 38 years. It stopped him from walking. You all know the story how that in Bethesda, the pool, occasionally the waters rippled for no other reason than, as the Word of God says, an angel went down from time to time. And the first person into the water after the angel passed through it was he. And that, if that's not cool, I don't know what is. Unfortunately, because this guy was a cripple for, goodness, maybe 4 decades, probably had no close friends that were fit and able-bodied enough to just haul him over to the water, because other people kept being chucked into the water first. They had people to help them. Well, I love the bit where Jesus asked him the question. He didn't say, do you want to be brought to the pool the next time an angel comes? He just said to him, do you want to be made whole? And the man, only seeing this pool was his, so he thought, his only means of salvation. He explained the situation. I can't do it. Someone always beats me to it. I don't have somebody else to help me. And even as I say those few words, there are so many thoughts and lessons that we can take from that. We know the story. Jesus just told them, just the power of God is such that he fixed them. He healed them. He was able to get up, but he was able to carry his bed. And I think pretty much the Lord said to him, take up your bed and walk. He said, there's no point in you hanging about here anymore. You're fit and able to get gone. So he was gone. But of course, the ministers, they don't like anything holy happening on the Sabbath day. Heaven forbid that Jesus should work in somebody's heart or mind, church, and it not be them that does it and get the glory. And they said, where are you going carrying your bed? And the fellow said, there's a guy that made me whole. And he told me once I was whole, take your bed and get out of here. Don't be hanging around here anymore. And so we did. He said, do you not realize it's the Sabbath day? Yeah, but it's the first day of the rest of my life. Why should I spend it waiting here until the end of the Sabbath day to roll up a roll that I've been sitting on for 40 years? And so he goes, tells them it was Jesus. And of course they had their knives out for the Lord after that. I had a couple of wee thoughts as I was reading through that. First of all, I want you to understand, getting right with God is not a competition. Right? Or growing. It's not a competition. It's not a matter of beating your wee brother, or your big brother, or your wee sister, or your big sister, or your best friend, or the school bully, or anybody else, to the foot of the cross to get saved, then see, I got saved before you. It's not about that. It's not a competition, even as a Christian, that you're a better Christian than somebody else who looked my suit is newer. It's my shirt is better pressed. My shoes are shinier. I can see black polish in your shoes, but you can see my face in my shoes. It's not a competition with other people, I want to add. But it should be, as we, in the words of the scriptures, judge yourselves, be a competition that we improve ourselves, that we're better today than we were this time last week. Sometimes it's hard to just see the differences over short periods of time, but if we look back a month or 2 months or a year, well, you ought to be a better Christian than we were back then. We ought to be more edified. We ought to be walking more with God. We ought to be more aware of what God wants for us in our lives. And it is a big thing. I want to tell you that.
So there are many people going to the bridge or the bottom of a bottle or a bottle of pills who don't know where they're going or what they want. And it is a big thing. There's more to life than just turning up at work and coming home and eating your tea and watching 2 or 3 hours of TV and going to bed. That's a treadmill. That's not life. But it's not a competition. It's not about beating somebody to the punch. I want for you to understand as well that it's not about signs and wonders either. We're not going to put... The only time that a ripple in the water ever meant danger for somebody was in Jurassic Park. Did you ever see that? When the T-Rex was coming and they saw the wee ripples in the pools. That was danger. Sadly, the Lord said that many people, even Christians, will be deceived by lying signs and wonders in these last days. And I used to think, how can that be? Surely Christians, they're well clued up on the Bible. They should be. Shouldn't they? If you were a doctor, you'd be well clued up on human anatomy. If you work with computers or programs, you'd be well clued up with your operating system, with the hardware in your computer, wouldn't you? You'd be up on the trade mags, you'd be up on the latest programming language, you'd be practicing. Get the idea? And I had a Christian lady one time, whenever my mum took the stroke and was in Craigavon Hospital, and my brother and myself were standing in the lift with this lady, and we were poking the bear a bit. We said to her, well, if my mother suddenly got well, what would that say to you? Oh, only God can do miracles. And that is why so many people are going to be fooled and deceived, because the Bible clearly speaks of the Antichrist doing miracles as well. It's not about me taking my coat off and wearing it at the front row of the church and everybody keeling over. Yep, not because I'm bad BO either. It's not about me suddenly flopping around like a landed fish at the front of the church, or gabbling like a baboon, or laughing like a hyena. I even heard there was one called, what was it, the sword blessing, where one of these gulpins would run up and down the church with a big two-handed sword in his hand because God had anointed him. Those are not the signs that we ought to be looking for. The Lord gave us the signs to be looking for, and one of those signs was all those other signs. He says, look out for false teachers. Look out for the signs of the times. Look out for things being back to front. Isn't that what Jesus said? Isn't that what it said back in Isaiah chapter 5? Woe unto you that call evil good and good evil, that give bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Do you want to hear another one or two? That join house to house. Did you hear that one? God hates it when people are crammed so tightly together they don't have enough ground around their houses to keep their kids busy and out of bother. That's back there in the Old Testament. And that's one of the reasons why in very heavily built up areas there is more trouble than there is out in the country. God knew what he was talking about nearly 3,000 years before a team was going to say of sociopaths, sociologists, put a plan together. Maybe sociopaths was the next word. God said, I have signs for you to look out for. I have the prophecies in the Word of God. I have the guys that stand behind the pulpit and they're only preaching half a message. They're preaching the half that makes everybody feel good. Well, God is a God of love, and that's true as far as it goes, but he's also a God of judgment and righteousness as well. And everything's going to be hunky-dory, and that's true as well for everybody that's saved in the ends of ages of eternity. But they don't tell that, don't mention the saved bit. The guys that's behind the pulpits, in a lot of cases, I would say in the majority of cases, even in Baptist circles, are traitors. And they're not preaching the full counsel of God's word. And they're leaving people high and dry. God says that's one of the signs. Weak and watery preaching. Telling people what they want to hear so the coffers get filled and he can change his car in 2 years instead of three. And so on. The Lord said to watch out for that. And he said to watch out for the wars and the rumors of wars. And Jesus said that. He said look out for this temple being brought to the ground. And they said, well, was it 40 and 6 years was this temple being built? And you're going to tear it down in 3 days. He said, so there's going to come a day and there'll not even be one stone left in the other in this temple. And 30 years later it happened. And I'm sure there was a few priests were still young enough whenever Jesus said it to remember it when it actually happened. He said to look out for those signs. He said to look out for signs where, would you believe, away back in Daniel chapter 11, and that would be about 2,600 years ago, when Daniel said, there will come a world government where one guy with a silver tongue will be able to come in and assume the kingdom or take the kingdom by flatteries. He'd literally be able to talk himself into the most powerful seat in the world. And yet today we think that's ordinary. That didn't happen back in the day. If you weren't the biggest, fastest, strongest, most supported guy, head the ball with a sword and a spear, you didn't get anything. And yet these things are all coming. These are the things that God said to look out for. He also said to look out for the increase in technology, global communications. Everybody holding their little moving pictures in their pockets. Pictures that seem to be alive. In most cases, it's live broadcast. He said to look out for a time whenever someone could press a button and pretty much wipe everybody out. And how long have we been able to do that? The past 30 or 40 years. We just saw what happened when one little bug got out of a lab in Wuhan. And everybody's, their knees are quaking, men's hearts are failing them for fear. Hold on, did the Bible not say that? That's exactly what's happening. What could happen if some of those oil bottles got opened and the air conditioning got switched in reverse? Yes, if the Lord didn't come back, no flesh would be saved. That's in Matthew 24, also in Mark and Luke. The Lord said to look out for these things. And that's just a handful of the things that I can pull from the top of my head. Those are the signs that we need to be looking out for. But we need to remember the words that Peter uttered in 2 Peter chapter 3. And he said, seeing all of these things, all of them, even those things that would be fashioned against us, seeing the things that we put store by and we spend so much time and effort to gather to ourselves, seeing all of these things are going to be burned up in a fervent heat sooner or later, and maybe even just left behind when we step off into eternity. What sort of people should we be? What manner of person ought you to be? There are signs, and they show us that God's real. Things that were finished 2,000 years ago are just coming to pass right now. So, the question is, really, why do so many of God's people rest on their laurels? I know from my own family, there are family members that I looked up in prayer. And I'll never see them again, probably. But what I should really do is contact them, write them a letter, send them an email, a Facebook message, PM, whatever it is. Messenger, there you go. I should send them a message and challenge them on their eternal security. I should maybe do that. But we keep putting it off. We keep putting it off. We shouldn't be waiting. The only thing we should be waiting on is God and the direction that he wants us to go. And whenever he gives us that, we should be gone. We should be executing his will. For the lost soul, I wouldn't wait until I'm old to get saved. I wouldn't wait, as one man said, until my parents are gone until I get saved. Or I wouldn't wait until I have sown my wild oats and then get saved. If you sow wild oats, you'll reap a wild harvest. The Lord said, do these things like now. Don't be waiting anymore. Don't be waiting for the ideal opportunity to serve the Lord. Make the ideal opportunity to serve the Lord. And the first one's going to be a disaster. The first one, you're going to be embarrassed. Your face will go red. You'll stumble for the words that you're looking for. You might even be shot down in flames. But if someone appears as you do your best in love to witness to them and to tell them about the Son of God, if someone pulls a fast one on you, you know the one, like, well, if God's for real, and we mentioned it this morning, and they had Cain and Abel, and there are only two sons mentioned. Where did Cain get his wife? No. Or, so, you say, look, off the top of my head, here's your answer. Off the top of my head, I don't know, but I'll tell you this. I'm going to pray about it, I'm going to read my Bible, and I'll come back with the answer. How do you feel about that? That's the way to do it. I was going to say, admit defeat graciously. I guarantee you God has an answer for every query that men have. And I'm not talking about what line of code do I need to put in this computer program, or what baseball card is the most valuable and where can I find one for free. I'm not talking about that. I mean the issues of life. Don't have to wait. You don't have to wait for 38 years to get saved. You don't have to wait until you're an adult before you get right with God. You don't have to wait until there's a priest comes along and gives you the okay about whether or not you can change your life for the better by throwing your lot in with Jesus Christ on the Sabbath day. You can do it now. You can tell that person that you love about Jesus now, or at least put the wheels in motion. You can put that gospel tract through your neighbor's door now. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait until you get to know them better. You don't have to wait until you're richer. You don't have to wait until you're older or you know more about the Bible. I'm going to tell you the magical recipe for remembering Bible verses. Go out and tell people about getting saved. And whenever they ask you a question and you don't know, I can double guarantee you that if you love that person, you are going to go and learn the appropriate Bible verse and it will never leave your mind. Because you'll have been so embarrassed and that situation will be so branded into your head, you will forever remember the person that caused you to go and research where Cain got his wife from. Or any of the other things that's in the Bible. Go out there and test it and prove it. Do something with it. Most, if not all of the Bible, well, most of the Bible verses that I personally have learned were learned for people at their front doors. The other ones that I have picked up over the years are the ones we learned in Bible studies and on my own time. The chapters that we learn. Isn't it great to be able to, whenever Will or Norman or Steve or even when Christy would come up and read a chapter, that you can sit back and close your eyes and every line that they read just refreshes a memorized verse. It just, that's a wee blessing. But you don't have to wait until the Bible study starts again. You can start that now. We're in 2 Timothy chapter 2, by the way. You can start your Bible memorizing now. You can start your talking to people about the Lord now. You don't have to wait until we go round the doors. It'll be at least another, I'm sure, a month before we're round the doors again. You don't have to wait to go and minister to that person. You can do it now. You don't have to wait until you're grey-headed to do it. You can do it now. You don't have to wait until I take you by the hand and put on the collar back to front and take you to the door and then you can say, this is my minister and he wants to tell you about Jesus. You can do that now.
You don't have to wait until I preach a message about David and Goliath. You can go and read about it now.
You don't have to wait until I come up with a great expose on creation. You can go to the first five chapters of the Bible and you can read it for yourself now. You don't have to wonder what the end times is going to bring for mankind. And you don't have to hope, oh Lord, would you have the pastor bring a series of messages in Revelation? Because you can go and read it for yourself right now. Norman was reading in Revelation chapter 17, and it's full of imagery. But I'll tell you what else it's full of too. It explains every weird verse that's in it. Talks about the whore that's sitting on the back, the scarlet covered beast over many waters, and you're thinking, and then it goes on to explain that the many waters are many peoples, that the whore is a city built on seven hills, and the beast is a kingdom with 10 kings. And it actually says that in the Bible. You can read it for yourself. You can let God put the pieces together in your heart and mind, and he will, because he wants you smart. But you can do that now. You don't have to wait until I get there. I'll get there eventually. Maybe someday we'll do another run through Revelation and Daniel and Matthew and Isaiah and Zechariah and Zephaniah and all the places that hook into Revelation. It's like a big root system on a tree. They all reach into each other. They're all interconnected. You don't have to wait for other people for you to live your Christian life. You should start now. Is there something bothering you? Is there a heavy weight on your heart or your mind? You can talk to God about that now. Do you know somebody else is having a difficult time? You can pray for them now. You can minister to them now. Do we need more prayers for better weather? Yes, we do. And I would appreciate it if you started praying for them now. And a strong back and a bit of Jimmy Rafferty. Common sense. You'd appreciate you praying for those things now. But there's people needing saved. There's countries that need prayed for. There's missionaries that need an extra touch, especially if they reside in those countries. There are billions of souls that don't know Christ as their Savior. We will never know them on this side of eternity, but they need to be prayed for. Not tomorrow, not next Sunday, but now. You don't have to wait. I know there's something to be said for a wee church. I would love for Bethel to be a bit bigger. I would. I love you all. It's not that I'm tired of just looking at your faces. It would be nice to know that there are people out there that are still looking for a good, solid King James based gospel preaching ministry. There's a lot to be said for small churches because they can move quickly. Mm-hmm. If I was to go to my old Presbyterian church and we wanted to do something, we'd probably have to write a proposal and put it to the Kirk session. And then the Kirk session and the minister would have a wee think about it and send it off to Belfast. And Belfast would mull over it and bury it in the garden for a month and wait until mold started to grow on it and then see what colour the mold comes out and decide whether green mold means yes and red mold means no, whether they were going to do that. And then they would send the facts back to the Kirk session and the minister, and the minister would then say yay or nay. Mostly nay, because they're a bunch of shitless jets. A lot of them are. But we can just go out and do something. We don't have to wait for some boy that's never seen, doesn't even know what a door knocker, what the other outside of a door knocker looks like, for putting tracks in it or knocking on it, or the other side of the doorbell note looks like, for pressing it and speaking to someone about their soul.
The only person I had to confer with when it comes to going out around the doors or up into the town centre or stand in the corner of the car park is God. That's it.
Sometimes it does take them a bit of time getting through to me. Because I am a slow learner.
He's the only one I have to confer with, and whenever he wants it done an awful lot faster, let me put it like that. There is a reason why God says, I think it's 3 or 4 times in the first 3 chapters of the book of Revelation, I hate the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. I hate hierarchies in my house. There's me. There's you. That's it.
Amen.
God gives the direction. We're supposed to do to give the operation. We're supposed to commence the operation. There's so much stuff. And we see, of course, in this story here, how the biggest opponent to the working of the Holy Spirit, to the saving of souls, to the carrying out of God's will in this world was who? The ministers. The priests. When God calls to it. Remember we Samuel? Not we Samuel called. But do remember him and pray for him. But we Samuel, in the book of 1 Samuel, when God called, he got to the point where he figured out, with a bit of help from Eli, that he just had to say, speak, Lord, for thy servant here. What about that? What about, before God even calls, just praying and saying, Lord, unbung my ears and help me to hear you when I call. But not when I'm old, Lord. Not when I'm done. Now, when I can do something for you. I want to go into eternity with good gifts to give to you, Lord. With gold and silver and precious stones. Not wood, hay, and stubble. You don't have to wait. That doesn't mean you run around like Quicksilver out of the X-Men. Then you know, table tennis with yourself. But whenever God calls, go. Go. And you don't have to even, I was going to say, wait for God. You can literally go to God and say, God, I really want to do something. How many times have you seen or experienced a little child, a son or a daughter coming up to you and say, I want to do it now. Can we go now? In 5 minutes is like a half a day to a 10-year-old. I want to go now. And a parent, a loving parent will get something for their child to do until such times, but you want to serve the Lord, all you got to do is turn up in the throne room of heaven and say, Lord, here am I. Send me. God will find something for you to do, and it will be the greatest thing that any soul could ever do. It'll be what God has planned for you. You don't have to wait. I'm not saying we come to church and in 10 years you'll all be ready to serve the Lord. Because the truth of the matter is, as soon as you repented of your sins and trusted in Jesus Christ as your only Savior, your own personal Savior, you were made ready to serve the Lord. So take and use that precious gift, the power of God, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, this supernaturally protected and preserved word that He has left for you and me. And grow and learn and faithfully point other souls to the foot of the cross. In whatever capacity the Lord calls you. Amen. Thank you for your good time. God bless you.
Amen. Has anybody got a suggestion for a closing hymn this evening?
Number 2,
are you okay to play that? Okay, number 2 in the wee black book, the Blessed Old Book. Let's turn, and if you're able, we'll stand and sing the Blessed Old Book. Thank you.
Christian Taylor, as they travel each other for aches and pains, you know the score, well, at least you know the people, the Lord knows the score. Please do be much in prayer. Amen. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for loving us and watching over us, and I pray that you would see us safely home, and Lord, all of those people, all of those names, loved ones and distant acquaintances, Lord, and even just names on the news. You know their needs, and you know, Father, the situations that they're in, please, I pray, show yourself to. Bless us as we part company. Please strengthen us. Please exhort us and encourage us. Lord, direct us and guide us. And Lord, even straighten us out if we need them. Pray too for the weather, for strength, for wisdom, for rebuilding your house, Lord. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Mm-hmm. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you.
You're
right, but that's home at 10 o'clock. You're pretty in the air about now.
Yep. I forgot the transfer.
Yeah. You did it.
Yep.